Good morning.
So proudly, this is God's house, the place He's prepared for us to come and to worship Him and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Recently, I was with a retired judge who still substituted occasionally, and he had traveled to Brunswick from Northwest Virginia to preside at a jury trial, and the attorneys were deliberating, and he and I began to talk, and he was a little bit younger than I was, but he was at retirement age, and we were talking about attorneys today and the bar associations, and he lamented the fact that the bar associations today, many of the attorneys involved do not show professional integrity in their dealings with each other and their dealings with the court. And I had to reluctantly agree. I deal with attorneys from all over the state on a monthly basis, and many of them, and I hate to characterize big city attorneys, but most of those that you can't rely on what they say that they're going to do are from a larger metropolitan areas. I don't know why, but I dare say that many of you businessmen in your dealings with other businessmen have faced similar situations. Employers and employees face the same dilemma when they deal with each other. They just cannot rely upon the word of another with whom they are dealing. And I also truly believe that integrity or lack of integrity is a problem with many Christians today. So for the next few weeks, I'd like for us to look at integrity, to discuss it as Christians as it is presented in the book of Daniel. And our text this morning is going to be the first chapter of the book of Daniel. And if you'll get your Bibles and follow along, I think it'll be more meaningful if you can follow in the Bible. There are Bibles in the pew racks in front of you if you forgot yours today. But I'm going to be reading the whole chapter. I know that's a lengthy passage, but follow along as I read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you look worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could interpret visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines integrity as a firm adherence to an code of especially moral values. It defines it as incorruptibility. It is akin to the term honesty. Integrity may be defined as what you say you do. And it occurs when word and deed are in agreement. In other words, you not only talk the talk, you walk the walk. And in sticking to you, it is sticking to your principles or beliefs, no matter what the circumstances. Well, possessing and displaying integrity may sound easy, but many of us know that it's not. When all is well, when there are no pressures on you, it's easy to have integrity. But when we have physical, emotional, and spiritual pressure to come to bear upon our lives to change or abandon our beliefs, this is when the situation becomes difficult. And that is the situation that Daniel faced in our text today. He had a problem. He was in a pressure situation, and his life was at turmoil at every level. His moral principles were threatened by physical, spiritual, and emotional pressures, and these pressures were the result of circumstances which were occurring in his life and in the world around him. Consider the physical pressure. Daniel had been removed from his homeland by force, by a conquering army. He was uprooted from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon as a slave. He was to live the remainder of his life in service to the king. Granted, he would be well treated as a slave, but nevertheless, he was to be a slave. Then there was emotional pressure. Daniel was in a turmoil. If you have ever had to move, and I assume most of you have, it's a stressful situation. Well, Daniel did not just move. He was taken from his homeland in chains and carried to a foreign nation. I cannot imagine what he was feeling during this time. The emotional stress from such an upheaval in his life would have been tremendous, I believe. And finally, Daniel was experiencing spiritual pressure. He watched as his temple, the temple of his religion, was burned and destroyed and sacked by these invading armies. And the articles that he and fellow worshipers held dear were taken as spoils back to Babylon. Finally, the sins of God's people, the Israelites, had taken its toll. Judgment had come. After all the warnings to the nation of Israel, God in his time allowed his people to be conquered, to be overcome. The city was left in ruins. But in the midst of this judgment and turmoil, God had a divine plan for Daniel. Now, Daniel was a very talented young man. He had what we call potential. Evidently, he was intellectually superior, good-looking, and in great shape, much like your pastor, if you need a visual of that. Verse 4 informs us that was the Holy Spirit, right, Sue? Verse 4 informs us that Aspenaz, chief of the court officials, received the order from the king, and out of the captives he was to bring the king young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. David was chosen for this prestigious position, he along with his friends. His life would be easier than any ordinary slave. He was to serve in the king's court. It was a place of power and prestige. And what a great opportunity this would be for a young man who was taken captive and brought to Babylon. But there was a catch. Daniel was being asked, for all intents and purposes, to become a Babylonian. He would be taught the language and the literature of the Babylons. The king assigned him a daily amount of food and wine from his own table. Daniel, along with his friends, would be taught the culture and customs and morals of the Babylonians for 3 years. And then, if they passed the test, they would enter into the king's service. So here's Daniel in this stressful, stressful situation, a situation which would test his faith and his beliefs at a fundamental level. This Israelite young man was expected to change into a Babylonian. Well, how would he meet this challenge? One way to deal with it would to be surrender. Daniel could have sold out. He simply could have given up and given in to the pressure and circumstances which were compelling him to change his core beliefs. Nobody would have blamed him. He was a young man held captive in a foreign land. And when pressured, many of us as believers are willing to surrender, to compromise, or to explain away the teachings of God's Word. It would have been easy for Daniel to go along with the program. With his gifts and talents, he would have surely been successful in the king's court. And yet, Daniel knew that he would not be successful with the King of Kings. He would not be successful with his Lord. Well, Daniel could have lied in this situation. He could have lied as to what he was doing. He could have kept the court official in the dock and the king in the dock. He could have pretended to eat the king's food and yet still obeyed God's law in Eden and drank what God would have him to drink. No one would be wiser. Just keep pretending to be obedient to the king and yet still be obedient to God. Now, this course of action would have certainly provided Daniel an easy way to avoid the pressure placed upon him, but he knew it was dishonest. He knew it lacked integrity if he chose this course of behavior. Because by acting in such a manner, Daniel would not have honored God. Many are willing to tell a little white lie as long as they believe the circumstances warrant the lie. We like to put sin in orders of degrees. Some sins are worse than others in our eyes. We believe it's okay to commit some, the little ones, and not to commit the big ones. But friends, I want you to remember that God does not approve of selective obedience, and He certainly does not recognize degrees of sin. So Daniel stood his ground by proposing a solution to Aspenaz. He offered Aspenaz the solution that would allow him to obey God and also to obey the laws of the king. First, he resolved himself that he was not going to defile himself by disobeying God. Daniel had these beliefs he had learned from God's word, which guided his moral behavior long before this circumstance in his life arose. And this belief system allowed Daniel to respond with confidence, not because he knew it all, but because he knew the God he served knew it all. And the second action Daniel took was to offer a win-win solution. In verses 12 and 13, we read that Daniel says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." Daniel proposed this test with confidence because he knew where he stood, and he knew if he honored God, that God would honor him. So Aspenaz agreed to the test, and he tested Daniel and his friends for 10 days. And at the end of that time, they passed with flying colors. They stood head and shoulders above all the others who had taken the king's food and drink. These four men looked better physically and responded better intellectually than anyone else in the entire kingdom. What an amazing testament to Daniel and his friends. Right? Wrong. It's not about Daniel and his friends. It's about God. Verse 17 tells us, "To these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning." It didn't say that they studied hard and they accomplished it and they had an understanding of all literature. It said, "God gave knowledge and understanding to these four men of all kinds of literature and learning." God worked in a powerful way in Daniel's life. Why? Because Daniel was willing to allow God to work in his life. And I have two questions to ask at this point. First, to the parents here today, what beliefs, what principles have you taught your children? If your child were put in a difficult, pressure situation involving peer pressure or other circumstances beyond their control, do they have the equipment to maintain their moral integrity? It's not only your responsibility to teach them, it's your responsibility to show them that you have that ability. That not only do what I say, but also do as I do. You know, it's never too late to start teaching them, but tomorrow may be too late. Think about that. It's never too late to start, but tomorrow may be too late. My next question is here to everybody, especially the young people and the children of our church. What have you been taught? Have you determined ahead of time how you might respond or deal with situations which surely will develop in your life? It's too late to wait until it happens. You need to make a decision now, and this applies to all of us. We need to decide now how we will respond later when our integrity is put to the test. Daniel did not all of a sudden, once he was captured and taken to Babylon, become dedicated to God. He lived his life each day for God before this occurred, and he did it after it occurred. He was determined, no matter what, that he would continue to be a child of God following him. And my last question is, can we say that of our life today? It's not too late to begin living a life of Christian integrity. Stop playing at church. Stop playing at worship. Stop playing at obedience to God's word. Start matching word and deed. Do what you say you're going to do. I'm not saying that if you have integrity, God is going to deliver you from all your pain and suffering, or even from the circumstances which is putting pressure on your integrity. But I can tell you from His Word, from the Scripture we read today, He will enable you to live your life for Him if you maintain your integrity. Notice that God did not miraculously free Daniel from slavery because he possessed his integrity, because he kept it intact, because he still followed God. But he did use Daniel to honor God in a very powerful way. Jesus did not say when he was here on this earth, "Discuss me." He said to follow me. And we do not negotiate with Jesus. We must surrender to Him. We don't compromise with Jesus. We submit to Him. And Christianity does not mean being interested in Jesus. It means saying, "Lord, I am yours. Do with me as you will." So I ask you another question. Are you ready today, if you've not done so, to make a public profession of your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and begin living a life of Christian integrity today? I hope you are, and I hope that as we sing our invitation hymn, you will come forward. If you are a child of God, but have slid into that thinking of big sin versus little sin, and it's okay to do the little ones and avoid the big ones, rethink your position on that, because as I said, God does not approve of selective obedience, and He doesn't have degrees of sin.